Praise the Lord, everyone. Well, it's wonderful to be here again on Wednesday night. We're going to sing some songs. We're going to worship God for a while. That's always the right thing to do. But before we do anything this evening, I'm going to pray, because without the Lord's help, we can't do anything. Father in heaven, we come before Thee in prayer, seeking Thy guidance and Thy direction here tonight. We ask, O God, that Thou wouldst be with us every step of the way. We ask for Thy inspiration. We ask for Thy guidance. We ask for Thy power to be here upon us. We ask that Thy Holy Ghost would be upon each and every one of us here today. We ask for Thy inspiration, so that we may truly worship Thee in spirit and in truth. And we pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of Thy saving blood. Amen. Praise the Lord. But we are going to start with number 143 in the chorus book, We Have Come Into This House. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Stand complete in Him and worship Him. He is all my righteousness. I stand complete in Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into this house and gathered in His name to worship Him. Christ the Lord, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. He is all my righteousness, I stand complete in Him and worship Him.
about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Don't forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Him. Don't forget about yourself and concentrate on Him and worship Christ the Lord. Worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. So lift up holy hands and magnify His name and worship Him. Christ the Lord, worship Him, Jesus Christ the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And He does deserve our worship. He does deserve for us to give Him all the praise, the worship, the honor. After all He's done for us, and He can do anything. We do serve a mighty, wonder-working God. There's nothing too hard for Him. So if you're ever stuck and you don't know what to do, just call upon the Lord, because He can make a way for you. In fact, why don't we go to number 31 and sing, I Know the Lord Will Make a Way.
There is no telling what God can do if you believe. There is no telling what God can do if you believe. Can do if you believe. I know the Lord will make a way for me. I know the Lord will make a way for me. If I live a holy life, shun if you believe.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You know, we serve a God who specializes in the impossible.
Amen.
There is nothing that He can't do. In fact, why don't we go to number 89 and sing, God Can Do Anything. God can do anything. Anything, God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, God can do anything but fail. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. He's the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. God can do anything, anything, anything. God can do anything but fail. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Our God is a miracle worker. Let's go to 67 and sing, Jesus is a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker, a miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let Him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in His name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let Him work in you. Jesus is a miracle worker, a miracle worker,
miracle worker. Jesus is a miracle worker. Oh, let him work in you. I know Jesus can do anything. He can touch the lame in his name. I know Jesus can do anything. Oh, let him work in you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord.
He does do a lot of miracles, and yes, he can heal our body, but the most amazing miracle of all is that he can save our souls, change our lives, and make something good out of us. Praise the Lord. And there is power in his blood. When we're washed in that blood, we are changed, we are cleansed. Why don't we go now to the hymnal and sing number 10, There is Power in the Blood. From the burden of sin, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would your evil a victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you do service for Jesus your King? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. And there is power in that blood to wash away every stain. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Well, I think what we'll do now is take up the collection, and then we'll sing one more song. Father in heaven, we thank thee for these tithes, these gifts, these offerings. We thank thee for thy many abundant blessings. We thank thee that thou hast brought us here, that thou hast kept us for so many years. We know that it is only by thy grace, thy mercy, and thy sustaining power that we are here today. And we thank thee, O Lord, that thou hast blessed us in so many ways. And we ask, O God, that thou hast blessed the givers here tonight. And we pray, O God, that thou would also bless those who are unable to give. We ask for thy wisdom and thy direction on how these funds should be used for thy purpose and thy glory. We pray this in the name of the Lord Jesus, through the power of thy saving blood. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing one more song. Number 294, Victory in Jesus, because we do have victory in Jesus today. Praise the Lord.
To save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood's atoning. Then I repented of my sins and saw the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about his healing, of his cleansing power revealing, how he made the lame to walk again and caused the blind to see. And then I cried, dear Jesus, come and heal my broken spirit. And somehow Jesus came and brought to me the victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood. I heard about a mansion he has built for me in glory, and I heard about the streets of gold beyond the crystal sea, about the angels singing and the old redemption story. And some sweet day I'll sing up there the song of victory. Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is due him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing flood.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. And we do have victory through him. And we can have that victory tonight. Praise the Lord. The devil wants you to forget about that, but we must never forget about that. Praise God. Well, we'll let Shirley come up here and see what you have to say tonight. Praise the Lord.
Oh, praise the Lord. Praise God. Oh, it's good to be here tonight. I must say, you know, you start singing those songs and, you know, you put your heart into it and all at once all these other things don't matter. You know, we came here to praise the Lord. We came here to get closer to the Lord, you know, and if we're here for the right motives, with the right heart, he's going to meet our needs. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's just wonderful to... have the Lord deep down inside and to know the power of his ability to save, to heal, to restore, to deliver, to set us free. I mean, we are blessed. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yes, such joy that he gives us. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Okay, praise the Lord. We're going to pray here tonight and ask God to be here. Just believe that he's going to be here. Talk to our hearts. Amen. Praise the Lord. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, God, for another opportunity. Another evening, Lord Jesus. Oh, Lord, and you did say where two or three are gathered together in your name, that you would be there in the midst. And God, oh, Lord, oh, God, help us to envision you being here tonight, Lord. Help us to realize that you are with your people, Lord, that you walk in and out of the golden candlesticks, Lord, the candlesticks, O Lord, that are before thy throne, Lord, thy people, Lord, that worship you in spirit and in truth. And God, you are here, Lord, to meet the needs of your people, Lord. You are here to bring us closer to you, Lord. You are here to bring us to new depths and give us new insights. Oh, God, to lead us and guide us, Lord, while we walk here on earth, Lord, this short pilgrimage that we have here on this earth, Lord. And God, I pray that you be here, Lord, that you lift our spirits, that you give us faith, that you give us hope, Lord, that you talk to our hearts, God, that the strong man would be bound, oh, Lord, every work of darkness, every deceitful, ungodly, unholy spirit, oh, Lord, they would try to interfere, Lord. God, we ask, we rebuke it in the name of Jesus. God, believing that you're here, oh God, to talk to our hearts and to help us, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing without you, Lord. Oh God, we could do nothing at all, Lord. Oh God, we need you here to empower us, to give us strength, to give us boldness. Oh God, to make us a light in this dark world. Oh Lord, we need you, Jesus. And oh God, we pray that you would use this word, God, that it, oh God, would bear truth, that you talk to our hearts and help us, Lord. Oh God, give us soundness of mind. Oh God, in faith in you, Lord, and deepen our faith and our hope, our desires, Lord. Oh God, deepen that walk with you, Lord. Oh God, that we might walk with you and be light in this world and be fruitful, Lord. Oh God, we pray in Jesus' name, thanking you, Lord. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to be going to the Word tonight. Simple little message, I believe. And we'll call it Doers of the Word. Doers of the Word. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We're going to begin by going to Matthew 7 here and read a few scriptures and go onward and see just what the Lord might show us here tonight. We're going to start with one of the little stories that Jesus told and how he said everything with a point. You know, there was no wasted words with what Jesus taught in his ministry, and everything he said had deepness to it. And here it is. He's telling a little story here. It's just as he is closing his Sermon on the Mount, and we know that the 5th, 6th, and 7th chapters of Matthew will all pertain to that, and such a ministry the Lord was bringing about. He's bringing about the new covenant as he was teaching, and it was a new way, it was a living way. It was contrary to the other ways of the law under the old covenant. He was, you know, showing them a new way where he would live in their hearts and convert them from sin and be their God, their Savior. And wow, these were amazing things. I'm sure many of the truths that he presented in that sermon there were, you know, completely amazing to those people that heard it. Because it was a new way. It was a living way. You know, all at once they were hearing, you know, to love your enemies, to pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you, and to bless them that curse you. They were hearing such words of life instead of under the law. And it was so different. But they were words of life, and God was going to work in such a way that they would be changed from the inside, and he would put the law inside their very being as he filled them with the Holy Ghost. But praise the Lord, we're going to look at verse 24 here. And it goes, verse 24 in Matthew 7, it goes, "Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And everyone that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." And it ends by saying, "And it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes." They had never heard anyone like the Lord Jesus. And here it was, he was bringing these new truths, things that had never been uttered before in a new and living way. We're going to go also to Luke, the 6th chapter, and it's the same parable, but he tells it, well, it's just the way that Luke presented it, just a little bit differently than Matthew, and I just think it has such an impact. And we'll begin by looking at Luke 6th chapter and verse 46. And this is a very interesting verse right here, verse 46. The Lord is asking a question. The Lord Jesus is asking a question. He said, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" It's a good question. It's a good one for this very moment too, because there's many people who say, "Lord, Lord," that they profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. That's the kind of world we're living in. And you know, Jesus himself talking, even on this Sermon on the Mount, about those that would prophesy in his name, and even cast out devils in his name, and in his name do many wonderful works. And yet he's going to say to them, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I never knew you." They worked iniquity. They hadn't repented. They hadn't given their lives to the Lord. And yet they're trying to do works. They're trying to say, Lord, Lord. You know, trying to enter in another way. He said those that would try to enter in another way, the same as a thief and a robber. There's only one way to God. But these days, it seems that most people think that any way will do it. In fact, as we know, it's getting more and more ridiculous all the time with what people are thinking is a Christian even. And, you know, it gets to the point that you just can't believe it. They've polluted that precious name. You know, they were first called Christians at Antioch. Why? Because they were doing the works of the Lord Jesus. And it amazed the people. They could all see the Lord Jesus in those people. But these days, there's people that actually think they're atheists and want to still call themselves Christians. Listen, it's not going to work. You know, it's not going to work. You know, these days, you know, they're embracing homosexuality and incorporating it into their church, allowing people to even minister from the pulpit and still be of that ilk. I'll tell you what, it's not going to work. It's not going to work. I know my girls were telling me about a cousin that recently married his daughter, walked his daughter down the aisle. She was getting married to another woman. And I'll tell you what, that is unbelievable. That is horrible. And it was even a church wedding, Jane says. Oh my, no, this is pathetic. This is pathetic what people have embraced, and they think they're okay. And so it says here in Luke, the 6th chapter, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Oh yes, they're so far off the track. You know, you can't even believe that you've heard it. But then he went on to say, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings, and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And here it is. It's not just hearing the words. You know, it's doing the words. You know, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the words of God. You know, you can't just hear it and let it go out the other ear. There has to be some action. Faith has action. So here he says again, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose and the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell. The ruin of that house was great. Oh, I just think this tells us so clearly the need for us to have our life built on the rock, Christ Jesus. There is no other foundation than that which is laid, that which the Lord Jesus laid, him becoming the chief cornerstone, that rock that they followed in the wilderness that has become the head of the corner, Jesus Christ. And there is no other way but to build upon that foundation that he laid. And it tells us here, if we're that wise, servant, if we're that wise person, we're going to not only hear those sayings that he declared, but we're going to do them. And it's like a man that he was going to build a house, and he just didn't kick up a little dirt and build a house. But he dug deep, 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 deep until it was established upon a rock. And that's the way our lives have to be. You know, it can't be shallow Christianity. Not just any old thing's going to do. We just can't believe, you know, some philosophy of man and think that we're going to make it to heaven. Not by any means, but it means seeking to enter in at the straight gate. It means studying to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. It means seeking the Lord with all our heart, our soul, our strength, our mind, and digging until we find it, until our life is embedded upon that foundation, the rock, Christ Jesus. And praise the Lord, he tells us if there's that deepness, then when the storms come, when the floods arise, and they might beat vehemently, fiercely, madly, but yet if we're established to the Lord Jesus, if our roots go down deep, then it's not going to shake us. We're not going to be altered. We're not going to be stunned. We're not going to run away because there's something deep. It's like that seed, that good seed that went into the earth and brought forth fruit. It's not like the seed that fell upon the stony ground. It had no roots. And then, you know, when the trials of life came and persecution and all the difficult things arose in that life all at once, it was running away because there was no deepness. The roots weren't down to the foundation. It was, you know, slightly embedded into the earth and it easily was shaken. But the need is great that we would dig down deep to know what the Word of God says. We've got to know in whom we have believed. Be fully persuaded that he is able to keep that which we have committed unto him against that day. It just has to be that because, you know what? Something is going to try to rock the boat. You know, there are going to be tests. There are going to be trials. There are going to be pressures in this life. There are going to be oppositions. But yet, there has to be something within us that's deeper than what most people have. Something that knows in whom they have believed, as I said, something that is an anchor of the soul, sure and steadfast. And praise the Lord, here it is. Those floods came, the stream beat vehemently upon that house. It could not shake it because it was founded upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus, his precepts, his teachings. Oh, what he has declared in his word. But to the contrary, he that heareth and doeth not, it went in one ear and out the other, is like a man without a foundation, built an house upon the earth against which the stream did beat vehemently and immediately fell. And the ruin of that house was great. Oh, how we need the Lord Jesus to be deep in our life. We need to know that word. We need to be built upon that sure, strong foundation that he has built for us, that he has created. You know, in John 13:17, a little verse says, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. That's the way it is. You know, it isn't going to pay in the long run to just have us a little bit of a knowledge, understanding. There's got to be some action to our faith. Hey, there's got to be some solidity. Oh, there's got to be deepness in what we believe and what we say. Let's also go to James, the first chapter. James, the first chapter. And in James 1, let's start by looking at verse 17 here. So we talk about being doers of the word. And verse 17, so precious. It says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. And what a beautiful verse that is to stand on. You know, there's only one who doesn't change, who doesn't vary, that is, doesn't turn. And that's our God. And it says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And then it goes on to say, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. And then, verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. See, that spirit of deception, which I believe is stronger at this moment than ever before, is out to seek and to destroy even those that would even hear the word of God. And it's not going to be enough just to hear the word of God. There's got to be action that takes place when we hear the word. Otherwise, we're just deceived, thinking, well, it's good enough. I went to church. I sat in the pew. You know, I prayed a little bit. I sang a little bit. I did this. I did that. But did you act upon it? Were you a doer of the word? Did it sink down deep into your heart? Did it change you? What was the impact? Because here it says, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. That's what we need. It's got to be engrafted in our heart. It's got to be put down deep. It's got to be put into our mind so that when we need it, it's right there. So lead and guide us into all truth. And so that by hearing the word, we'll know what is right. By hearing the word, we're warned. And we could do righteously because it's in our hearts to do that. But another action that has to be taken place is that laying apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, any excess of wickedness or depravity, debauchery, all that kind of thing, that has to go. And that's all a part of repentance, isn't it? We come to the Lord in faith, knowing that He's there to meet our needs, knowing that He's there to save our souls. But it's going to take action. You can't just have faith and be fine. You've got to have action to show your faith. And that faith initially will be repentance, which means turning away from the old man, the old ways, to do about face and come to God, resolving that you're going to be different than ever before, and letting His Spirit come into our lives to enable us, to give us power over sin. That's all a part of it. It's not just hearing it and even just believing it. It's got to become to such an extent that it changes us. And that's what repentance is. We receive with meekness that engrafted word which is able to save our souls. Praise the Lord. It comes deep into our lives. And it says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. Otherwise, we're just deceived. And it goes on to explain it here. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. Or in other words, in a mirror. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. You know, well, I come to a certain realization. Oh, yeah, this isn't right. That isn't right. That's not good either. God doesn't like that. I heard it. And do nothing. That's not going to get us there, is it? That's just like looking yourself in the mirror and, I guess my hair should be brushed a little better, but who cares? You know, I'm going to forget about it. You know, but people are like that. They, you know, certain things might prick their heart even. And they might come to certain understandings, but, you know, what do they do about it? It says in verse 25, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. See the action that needs to take place when we come to the Lord. You look into that perfect law of liberty, the new covenant that the Lord Jesus has given us. You look into it. But there's a continuance, and continueth therein, and not being a forgetful hearer, but putting that faith to action, putting those words to action, but becoming a doer of the work. It says, this man shall be blessed in his deed. And that's what it's going to take. You know, there's going to be changes. When we come to the Lord, you know, it's not going to be enough just to think, well, someday I'm going to do this. Well, yeah, someday I'm going to quit sinning. Someday I'm going to start reading my Bible. Oh, well, someday I'm going to start coming to church on Wednesday nights. Well, yeah, someday I'm going to start paying my tithes. Oh, well, yeah, someday I'm going to stop smoking those cigarettes. So someday I'm just going to get rid of that television. You know, it goes on. I'm going to stop gambling. I'm going to stop going to the casinos. You know, what good is that going to do? You have to resolve it in your heart first, but there's going to be actions. Otherwise, it goes nowhere. It does nothing to change you, to bring you closer to the Lord. It's just, you know, feeble, you know, knowledge deep in, you know, inside somehow. But it's not doing the work. It's not allowing you to come to that place what you need to attain to in the Lord Jesus. It's not going to do that work, you know. Repentance, like I said, is an action. It's going to be a change. Don't tell me that you're a Christian and, you know, remain in the same way that you were before you came to Christ. You know, there's something wrong then, because truly, there's going to be changes when we come to Christ. We're all under that law of sin when we come to Him initially. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none that doeth good, no, that one, no, not one. And we all need a Savior. But, you know, that means that there has to be changes in our lives when we come to the Lord. So often there's excuses. And I know Luke, the 14th chapter, talks about some of those excuses that people sometimes have presented. The story there, if we go to Luke, the 14th chapter, and look at verse 16, it tells about a man who obviously had some means. A certain man, it tells us, he made a great supper, and he bade many. And then it tells us he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. I'm sure there was a great deal of work that went into this supper, these preparations to put on this, you know, tremendous meal that was presented to those that were invited. And so when it was all ready, he sent his servant out to tell them all to come. But the story is that when they heard that it was ready, they all, with one consent, began to make excuse. They didn't want to come. They didn't want to come. It was going to be a wonderful supper, I'm sure, with, you know, delicious food, well planned, and, you know, nutritious, and you know, something that would, you know, be something that almost anybody would want to partake of. But yet, here's these people. They've been invited, but they don't want to come. They didn't want to come. And they all, with one consent, it says, began to make an excuse. And the first individual said, well, I just bought a piece of ground and I've got to go see it. And please have me excused. And, you know, another one said, well, I just bought 5 yoke of oxen and I've got to go prove that, you know, they're fine. Please have me excused. Another one said, I've just married a wife and I've got to just, you know, I just can't come. Therefore, you know, obviously, you know, she probably wouldn't like it. And I just can't do that. You know, I just have to, you know, go do these certain things, take care of these affairs in my life. You know, I just bought a new house and, well, I've got to make sure that it's what they said. And I just can't come right now. So they all made excuses. And I'll tell you what, that servant came, he told it to his lord, and that master of the house was very upset, it says. He was very angry. He said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant went out and did that. They came. They came, obviously. And yet there was room. So yet that Lord told his servant to go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in so that my house may be filled. And I just have a feeling, oh, we have been invited to the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, for that wonderful inheritance that he has for those that love him and do his will. The things that he has prepared for them that love him, eye hath not seen or ear hath not been told, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. It's a great inheritance beyond our imagination or our knowledge or what we could ever realize in this world. And he has invited us to come. He has invited us to come. But how many people come? You know, some come, stay for a little while. You know, like, you know, those that fall among the stones. And some, you know, come and you know, serve him for a while. And then the thistles, you know, all begin to grow. And all at once, they can't serve the Lord any longer. You know, the riches of this world, the cares of this world have distracted them to the point that they're no longer interested. But thank God there is a good soil. There is a seed that falls into the good ground and it brings forth plentifully. You know, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. You know, that precious seed that bears fruit. And I have a feeling, you know, that my house may be filled. You know, I have a feeling the Lord is long patient. He's waiting for the precious fruit of the earth and hath long patience. It tells us there in James, until he received the early and latter rain. He's waiting that his house might be filled. And here it is. Here we are tonight. You know, we've got so much to offer. We've got the Word of God. We've got truth. But how many people want to come and partake of it? Oh, so many do not. But that's not going to be good. In the long run, it says in verse 24, "For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper." Those that were initially invited, and we know that Jesus Christ came unto his own. He came to the Jewish people. And how many of them received him? Not too many. Not too many received him. So he turned to another people, didn't he? He turned to another people because those that were originally bidden were not worthy. They didn't take him up on his offer. They didn't come to him, the living water. They didn't receive him. They didn't graciously invite him in. So he turned to another, said that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Oh my, yes, people and their excuses, their reasons why they can't serve God. Oh, I've just got to wait till things are better, you know, till I finish my education, till I get that house. Oh, till I feel a little better, you know, until I get over this sickness, whatever. Oh, there's so many excuses. But I want to say, when God invites us, oh, to come into his presence, to partake of the good things of God, we better not make excuses. We better open up our hearts. We better let him in. We better embrace his word. We better dig down deep and let our roots grow. Because I'll tell you what, there's no other way to live. There's no other hope. And we've been given such a wonderful blessing. Such hope. Oh my. The things that he has prepared for them that love him. It's going to be beyond words. But praise the Lord. We are privileged, aren't we? To have this invitation. We are privileged to sit here tonight and to be partakers of those heavenly gifts that he has offered to those that love him. What a precious thing it is. I think we go a little further here in Luke to the 19th chapter. We do read of a man that readily received Jesus Christ. And that 19th chapter tells us that Jesus was passing through Jericho. There was a man among them there. His name was Zacchaeus. And he was rich, it tells us. He was also chief among the publicans. He was a tax collector. But there was something inside this Zacchaeus He wanted to see Jesus. He'd obviously heard about Jesus. And he not obviously had the privilege yet to meet the Lord. But there was something deep within that told him he needed this acquaintance. He needed to see the Lord, Jesus. And here it is. He heard that Jesus was coming to Jericho. It tells us he sought to see Jesus, who he was. And he could not for the press because he was little of stature. Here he was, a short man. And he wasn't able to see. There were so many people that also had it in their hearts to see Jesus. And, you know, he tried to see above their heads, but he couldn't. But this man was determined. And he wasn't going to let anything turn him away. You know, he was going to not let anything to stop him. He just had it in his heart. He was going to see Jesus. So, he ran before the crowd, and he climbed up into a sycamore tree, for he heard that Jesus was going to pass that way. And praise the Lord, I'm so thankful Jesus is God, and he knows the hearts. He could tell the things that they were thinking before he even saw them in person. And here it was, Jesus came to that place where Zacchaeus was. He looked up and saw him and said unto him, Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must abide at thy house. And I love this man's attitude. It tells us he made haste and he came down and he received him joyfully. Oh, praise the Lord. He didn't hesitate. He wasn't making excuses. Yeah, he was a tax collector, and he had not lived well, you know, as far as spiritual things are concerned. He'd not been so honest and so good, you know, but yet there was something in his heart that he knew he had to see Jesus. He knew there had to be some changes in his life. And I love how it was. He wasn't making excuses. He wasn't going to deliberate about it. He wasn't going to think it over and give the devil opportunity to work on his mind just so he might reconsider. No, it says that he made haste. He came down out of that sycamore tree and he received Jesus joyfully. And I believe that man was never the same after that. Never the same. Oh, some of them were murmuring. They were saying, oh, wow, now what's he doing? See, they were Jewish people, and for the most part, and yet, you know, all they could see is fault. All they could do is make excuse. Oh, now he's gone to be a guest with a man and he's an obvious sinner. So those other people were all murmuring and saying this and saying that. But the Lord knew what was going to happen to this man. It says, and Zacchaeus stood and said unto the Lord, behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor. And if I have taken anything from any man by false accusation, I restore him fourfold. Oh, yes, something worked in his heart. And it's called repentance. The man could see his need to change, his need to get right with Almighty God. And all at once, the things that he had done in his life that weren't right came to his mind. And he knew what he had to do. And it wasn't just going to be hopes. It wasn't going to just be words. But he was going to be a doer of the word. He was going to put it to action. So he said, I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. And if I've taken anything from any person dishonestly, I'm going to restore unto him fourfold. That's what repentance does. That's what repentance does. As the Lord works in our hearts, there's going to be changes. All at once, there's going to be realizations that had probably never come to mind before that time. There's going to be understanding that we didn't have before, but there's going to be a desire. I'm going to change. I'm going to be made over. I'm going to come to Jesus in repentance and turn my life over to Him. Oh, what a precious thing it is. Oh my, yes. That need to get rid of sin. That desire to loathe it and to become that new creature in Christ. You know, these days people are embracing sin left and right, so it seems. They don't even seem to know the need to repent. Or maybe they think, well, I can always repent. You know, I can always say I'm sorry. You know, what's the difference if I do this right now? You know, I can repent tomorrow night. And that's not the way it is. You know, we're not to continue in sin that grace may yet abound. God forbid, it tells us in Romans the 6th chapter. But there is to be a true repentance. You know, that woman who was caught in the act of adultery. Yes, they accused her, the scribes and the Pharisees, and they brought her to Jesus to see what he would say, actually to tempt him. See if he would, you know, go along with what Moses taught, or, you know, or if he would be contrary and give them great reason to come against Jesus, to oppose him. But Jesus always had the right, perfect answers, didn't he? Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus there, he stooped down to the ground and began to write there in the dirt there. We don't know what he wrote, but those individuals that had brought this woman to Jesus were convicted in their hearts, weren't they? And they all began to leave, from the oldest to the youngest, the scribes and Pharisees that were accusing and bringing her to tempt Jesus. They all left, one after the other, and you know, Jesus began to talk to that woman, asked, "Hath no man accused thee?" And, you know, she said, "No, Lord." They had all left, one after the other. Jesus said, "Neither do I accuse thee." But he did go and say, "Go and sin no more." There was going to be a difference in her. If she truly came to the Lord Jesus, those old desires were going to leave. And she was going to be a different person. They were going to note that. Because Jesus had come into her life. You know, the same is told there. There was the impotent man there at Bethesda. At that pool of Bethesda. And he had been there a long time. He had been there for 38 years, it tells us in John, the 5th chapter. And Jesus came by. Oh, those waters there at Bethesda would be troubled once a year. And the first person to get into those waters would be healed. But that man could never get into the waters first. He'd been there year after year after year, 38 long years, hoping that he could get into the water, but there was none to help him. Oh, praise the Lord. Jesus came by. Jesus came by and had compassion on him and told him to rise, take up thy bed and walk. And you know, immediately that man did it. That man had faith. And he obeyed what was told him. Immediately he did so, and that man was made whole. You know, later Jesus revealed himself to that man, and he said, "Behold, thou art made whole." He said, "Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon thee." Oh, praise the Lord. The Lord is there to meet our needs. He's there to hear the repentant sinner and to forgive and to show mercy. But there's expectations that our God has. He doesn't expect us to continue in our sin. Oh yes, there may be things we don't grasp at the first. There may be things we don't understand. But it's going to begin to work in our heart. Those changes are going to begin to come. And you know, we're going to begin to realize our need to be in Christ. We're going to begin to hate those old things of the world. You know, the old passions, the old desires, all the old ways. They're going to leave us, you know. They're going to be forgotten because we've embraced that new way of life and we're going to be changed. There's going to be actions. We're going to become doers of the word and not just hearers only. That's what the Lord is going to require. He's going to require some faith if we hear his voice. You know, again, we just can't just live in that realm of someday. Someday I'm going to be like this. Someday I'm going to do that. No, it's time now. Now is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. It's time now. We can't wait. We don't know what tomorrow's going to hold. Oh, anyway, we don't know how much time we have left. We know the coming of the Lord is near. And God only knows that we may have but just a few days to work and labor for Him. If we don't do some of those things that are in our heart to do now, then will we ever do them? It's a big question, you know, because many people have goals and aims. And, you know, there's many a person, I'm sure, that thought they were going to alter their ways, that they were going to change, that they were going to come to God, they were going to start reading their Bible, they were going to start praying, they were going to start coming to church, they were going to start paying tithes and all that sort of thing. They were going to get rid of the junk in their house. But did they ever do it? Good intentions aren't going to get us to heaven. It's going to take actions. You know, if we're going to have faith towards God, we're going to show that faith by what we do, the way we talk. That changed life, you know, that cussing, that swearing, those old ways are going to go. You know, those addictions are going to go if we've truly given our lives to the Lord. There's going to be a change, you know. It's going to be go and sin no more. And yes, it could be possible that we slip up. Yes, because we have this human nature and we have this weakness, but, you know, we have an advocate with the Father, don't we? Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. Oh, thank God He paid that price. Oh, that our sins might be forgiven. Oh, that they might not only be forgiven, but they might be paid for. And it's going to take actions. Not only is repentance an action word, but He's going to expect us to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. That is another action word. You know, they were commanded in the New Testament to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's going to take that. There's going to be works that follow those that believe. There's going to be actions. We can't just be hearers of the word. We must also be doers. Let's also go to James, the second chapter. James, the second chapter here, and let's look at, I guess, verse 4. Well, let's see. I guess I'm going to start a little earlier. Let's look at verse, we'll do 13 here. For he shall have judgment without mercy that hath showed no mercy, and mercy rejoiceth against judgment. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works, can faith save him? So here James is asking the question, if you just say you have faith, but there's no evidence of it, is that faith going to save you? A lot of people say it would. But this is what James says here in the scripture. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So yes, if somebody comes to us and, you know, they haven't eaten for five days, and we say, oh, well, have some food, and give them nothing, well, you know, what good is that? There's no action there. Or, you know, they don't have a blanket to sleep with, and you know, we say, be warmed, but give them no blanket. Well, how does that help them? It says, even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? He is emphasizing that again and again in this portion of scripture. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also. So here it is, he's using Abraham as an example. And I love Abraham's faith. But you know, we would not have ever even have heard of Abraham if he would not have showed his faith. God called him and told him to leave his land, his loved ones, those things that he was familiar with, and get up and follow him and go to a land that the Lord would show him. And if, you know, if Abraham wouldn't have had faith, he would have done nothing. And we wouldn't have even heard about him. But praise the Lord, Abraham had faith. And he did get up and leave Ur of Chaldea. He did get up and go. And he walked with God, didn't he? He showed his faith in so many ways. And you know, when he was severely tested, there with Isaac there on Mount Moriah, he also had enough faith to do what God had said, believing that even if, you know, he had to slay his only son, that God would raise him up again. This man had faith, and he showed it with his obedience. And therefore Rahab also, you know, she had faith too. She had heard about those Israelite people. Oh, she had heard what God had done for them. And deep down inside, she knew that Jericho was going to go. But she was had it deeply within her heart to hide those spies that had come into the land and to make a way for them and then to send them out. And she also had faith to believe that God would have a plan for her and a way of sparing her, of saving her. And it's a beautiful story, isn't it? That cord out of the window for whoever was in that household with her, in that home with her, there on the wall of Jericho, was spared because this woman had faith. And not only did she have faith, but she showed it. She showed it in such a way that it brought forth fruit, and those people were spared. They became part of the Israelites. She even had a part in the bloodline. You know, God saw her faith, and it was a beautiful thing, but there was action. She did tremble in fear when those spies came to her and needed a hiding place. She did worry. There was something deep within her, and she showed mercy and then sent them away. God spared her. He saw that faith that was in her heart. There were actions that she took, and God saw those actions. Oh, yes. For to be a doer of the word, there has to be action. It has to be faith that is shown. Yes, as I've said, when we come to God and show repentance, there's action that has to be evident. When we go down in the waters of baptism, that is an action that we show. We show our faith, our obedience to the will of God, to the scripture. If we want strength in God, we're going to have to pray. We're going to have to, you know, it's not going to come by just wishing that we have strength. No, we're going to have to get down on our knees and ask God for strength. We're going to have to, you know, come to the test and go forth. If we want to know God's word, we're going to have to hide it in our heart. We're going to have to pore over it. We're going to have to study to show ourselves approved unto God, that workman that needeth not to be ashamed. No, faith is going to have action. We're going to have to learn how it is to take up our cross daily and follow him. you know, to put down the self-will and the things that are contrary, to know how to seek the Lord and to seek His will and to desire Him to be foremost in our lives, in our hearts, to seek the kingdom of God first and His righteousness, knowing that all these things shall be added unto us. No, faith is an action if it's deep in our heart. Oh my, yes, if we want people to come to church, aren't we going to have to put that to action too? Aren't we going to have to get out there and invite them to come, you know, pass out a few tracts and make a few friends and talk to people, maybe pray for some people on the streets and you know, maybe knock on a few doors? Isn't there going to have to be an action? Because, you know, again, like we read, faith without works is dead, being alone. It's not going to bear fruit. God has to see something deep inside. You know, if we want to serve Him, it's got to be apparent. It's got to be obvious. We can't look and act like everybody else in the world and think that they're going to realize we're a Christian. I mean, what's the difference? And that's the way most people are these days. They might want to name the name of Christ, but oh boy, just be like everybody else. No, I'll tell you what, that isn't going to cut it. The early church put faith to action. Oh, you see that in the book of Acts. They were active. They were doing the will of God. They were, you know, out there praying, testifying, you know, believing God, being filled with the Holy Ghost. And yes, if you want the Holy Ghost, you're going to have to seek for it. You're going to have to ask God for it. And He has promised that He would give it. There's no mistake. He's always not going to give you a serpent. He's not going to, you know, give you some ugly thing if you're truly seeking the Lord. But He's going to pour out His Spirit upon those that truly desire it and seek His will. But the early church put faith to action. I'm thinking of Mark, the 16th chapter there. Beginning at verse 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." And it says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." And believe me, these were some of the last words that Jesus Christ spoke before He ascended into heaven. Because it tells us in verse 19 there in Mark 16, "So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, He was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God." You know, the church could have went dead at that point. Well, He's gone. He's no longer here. But praise the Lord, He sent back the Holy Ghost so that He might be in them and so that the works that He did, they could do all the more. And they did. It tells us as this book is ending, "And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following." Amen. That's faith in action. That's being a doer of the word. They just, you know, they didn't, you know, just go lazy and just think it's over. No, they went forth and preached everywhere. They just brought the gospel to every place they could think of. You know, I'm getting in the habit of tucking a few tracts in my pocket when I go down the street. You know, and you just don't know who you're going to see. You know, there might be, you know, that person who's hungry for the Lord. And, you know, I have a few people that don't want them, but a lot of times, most of the time, it seems that they take them. You know, you've got to do something. You've got to show your faith. You know, you might see somebody who needs prayer and be able to pray for them right then and there. That's what the early church did. They went forth, they preached everywhere. They were preaching Jesus. He's risen. He's not in the tomb. He's not dead. He's alive. He's in our hearts. He's changed us. He's given us something to live for. We have a hope of eternal life. Oh, praise the Lord. He knows how to heal us. He knows how to deliver us. He knows how to change us. And to give us victory in our lives. So they went forth. Oh, they went forth and he preached everywhere. The Lord working with them. See, he saw the faith in their heart and he wasn't going to leave them. You know, he wasn't going to disappoint them. He worked with them. He saw that faith. And if he saw the faith in those people back then, doesn't he see the faith in us now? He's the same. Yesterday, today, and forever. What he did back then, he will do today. You know, he did give us the Holy Ghost for just back then, in that time period, as some people profess and believe. No, if we didn't have it now, before the coming of the Lord, in this wicked time that we live in, how would we have any hope? How would we have any strength? But praise the Lord, he put the Holy Ghost within us so that we might have power to witness. Oh, we might have authority in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh my, that there might be something deep inside us. Oh, that changing power of God that goes forth to declare it so that his house might be full. Oh, so there might be people that sit in the pews, that want to know the living Savior, that want to come to him. Oh, the Lord was working with them. And so he will work with us, it says, confirming the word with signs following. Yes, these signs shall follow them that believe. Amen. I tell you what, there's people out there that are filled with devils these days. Oh, I'll tell you, not even always recognized. You put a label or a name or something over it and kind of try to make it sound like, some other mental illness. But tell you what, there's a lot of people that need deliverance. Oh, and that need the saving grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that need to be healed. And praise the Lord, we know the one that heals. Oh, we have his promises. Even if we drink any deadly thing, that it will not hurt us. Take up serpents. Oh, we can go against the wiles of the enemy. Oh, if that armor is on us, if we were embraced in the Word of God, if we're living for him, if we're upright in heart, we can take up serpents and know that they will not hurt us. And I believe this also is talking about demonic spirits and things that are all around us. Some people are in such bondage and they fear that, that people who are into witchcraft or the occult can put a spell on them. Tell you what, if you're living for the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not going to be able to cast any spell upon you. They're not going to have that kind of power. In fact, it's going to be to the contrary. You know, we're to tread upon serpents and upon scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. He said, nothing shall by any means hurt you. Listen, we've got the Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ in our heart. For ye shall receive power after this. The Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Yes, that's what the Holy Ghost was intended to do, to give us a strength that we did not have in ourselves, an enablement, an ability that we would not have our own at all, by any means. And praise the Lord, he did not leave us comfortless, but he came unto us. Oh, praise the Lord, that gift of the Holy Ghost. He says, they shall speak with new tongues. So listen, that is just as much for us today as it was for them in the book of Acts. And I am so grateful. I am so grateful for that, for the promises of the Lord. But he expects us to put our faith to action, to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, he made provision for all our needs. And of course, the book of James, it tells us what to do if there be any sick among us. We can just go to that fifth chapter in the book of James. In verse 13 it says, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. And let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Oh, I love that, how those work together. Praise the Lord. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Oh, there's much power in prayer. When our hearts are right with God, there's much power in that prayer, that faith that he puts in our heart, that we might reach out and embrace his promises. But praise the Lord, just as they had to show faith in times of old, the Lord Jesus expects us to show faith today and not to just be doers, not just to be hearers of the word, but to be doers of the word. Oh, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's what we need today. We need to put that faith to action. And isn't it high time? We don't have much more time, I don't feel, to live for the Lord, to do his will. And if not now, then when? Then when will we do it? You know, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. It's not wise to put it off. You know, because, oh, wow, we don't know what one day even may bring, much less 2 years from now. But praise the Lord, we can work while it is day, because that night surely will come when no man can work. And believe me, we want to be judged righteously in the sight of God, don't we? Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That need is so great. Oh, if he could just speak to our hearts, if he could just get us to be that kind of person that we need to be in the Lord Jesus, where we forget, you know, all our shyness and all our lacks. The Lord can supply all our needs. You know, we can be the shyest person in this world, and yet the Lord, when he comes into our lives, he comes to change us, to make us different, to give us a zeal. The zeal of the Lord of hosts shall perform it. He works through his people. And he can change us and enable us, empower us to have that kind of strength that we need to do the job, to meet the requirements, to fulfill his will. Oh my, we want to be like that man that not only came to the Lord Jesus Christ, but heard those sayings and did them right. That man that built a house and dug down deep. Oh, until everything was on the rock Christ Jesus. That's how we want our lives to be, so that when those winds, those trials, those pressures come upon us, that we'll have a strength, that we may be able to stand in the evil day. So we can stand against the wiles of the devil. That strength that only the Lord Jesus can give us. Oh, how we need it. It's not going to come easy. There's got to be some action. You know, there's going to be some time down in the knees. There's got to be some time pouring over God's word. There's got to be some strength in gathering together with God's people, all of that. But praise the Lord, he's not going to ask us to do something that's impossible. He is going to enable us. He's going to give us strength if we'll only stand on his word and obey what he has asked us to do, and dig down deep so that we're resting on his foundation, that chief cornerstone, the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let's go to him in prayer. Oh, Heavenly Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your precious word. We thank you, God, that you've given us a strength, oh Lord, that's not found in this world. Oh God, we thank you for the Holy Ghost that you gave us. O Lord, that, O God, we might abide in Thee and You in us, O Lord. O God, that we might be Your children, Lord, that we might be overcomers, Lord. O God, that we might be in Thy sight. And God, I pray, O God, that You would spur us on to action, Lord. O God, that You'd help us to show our faith, God. O God, and quit making excuses, Lord Jesus. O God, to stand firm. O God, to stand straight and tall and be proper, Lord, in Thy sight, Lord. Oh God, give us that kind of faith. Oh God, oh Lord, that faith that knows action, Lord, that faith that will go forward. Oh God, that faith that will rest in Thy promises. Oh God, and go forward and be a doer of the word. Oh Lord, help us. We pray in Jesus' name, thanking You, God, for Your promises. Oh Lord, in Your ability to help us and to sustain us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank the Lord Jesus. Praise the Lord. Let's give it all to Him tonight. Let's spend that time with Him. Let it flood our souls and change us. Oh, praise the Lord. Amen. Praise God.
Praise the Lord. Well, we are going to sing number 86 in the chorus book, I'm Going to Work and Watch and Pray. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm going to serve Him every day. I'm going to see His face in glory by and by. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to make His will my choice. I'm going to rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm going to serve Him every day. I'm going to see His face in glory by and by. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to make His will my choice. I'm going to rise to meet Him in the morning. I'm going to work and watch and pray. I'm going to serve Him every day. I'm going to see His face in glory by and by. I'm going to listen to His voice. I'm going to make His will my choice. I'm going to rise to meet Him in the morning. Praise the Lord. You're dismissed unto prayer in Jesus' name.